We're starting a new series today on building strong families. And I just want to start by saying God really cares about family. Like, family is really important to Jesus. So important to him. When he created us in the beginning, he put us in a family. And his heart and design is for us to be within families together, like biologically, and then also a spiritual family, which the Bible and God calls a church. And you might look at me today and be like, all right, hey, you look a little bit put together with your family. But man, if you like flash back like 20, 30 years and look at my family I came from, like my family was like super broken. If I could just describe to you like what it looked like growing up, you know, we had like my mom, dad, my sister, and our dog, our various dogs as we grew up. But man, behind the scenes, like, it was really chaotic because there was a lot of like alcoholism with my dad and some drugs and stuff he did. There was abuse there that went on, especially as I did, like every couple of years I had to do this certification as a quote unquote pastor in terms of how the government like views my role in terms of like reporting child abuse. And as I went through it, I was like, oh my gosh, like all this stuff happened to me growing up. And I had just a pretty chaotic life with just a lot of those different things. Screaming, yelling, being called names and horrible things was like super normal growing up in my family. And I look back and I'm like, dude, my life was like so messed up as a kid. But Jesus, right? You just put but Jesus in there and he can like redeem and transform everything with the power of his love, which Laura talked about love last week and just who God is as love and that transformation that that brings when we encounter his love. It's such a powerful message. And you got the moms who love real good with their kids. Yeah. Hey, this is Church at the Park, man. We just roll with it and we're all a big family. And so when I look at like where I was just so broken, and my dad left when I was 12 in addition to that, right? So my family is just so fractured and broken. And just seeing like remarriages in my family and other things happen and more divorces and all these things is like, man, even in the midst of that brokenness, like Jesus still really cares about family. And when we turn our hearts to him and say, Jesus, I want to do family your way, he gives us the ability to do family his way, the way he's designed it. And that's to be healthy and whole. And so I just want to say, like, I know a lot of us have different backgrounds in terms of how we grew up with the family that we came from. Some of us may have had like positive experiences, but most of humanity that I talked to like didn't have a ton of positive experiences, because there isn't really a book our government gives us that says like, do your family this way. But the Bible has a book that many of them, it says, hey, this is how God has designed family for us. So just naming up front, like, we all have a story, and a lot of it has brokenness within our family. There's a lot of secrets and things like maybe we haven't shared. And then a lot of us are in different contexts now, right? We got single people, we got dating people, we got engaged people, we got married people, we got divorced people, we got separated people. I mean, like, this is just the reality that we as humans face, right? And something I hope that you feel when you come here, because this is how Jesus is. Like, with Jesus, there's no shame, there's no blame, and there's no condemnation. Because Romans 8:1 says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Satan wants to use shame and blame to keep us in bondage. But Jesus says, hey, step in the light, step in my love. And that's when you can bring everything out into the open. Because I remember one of the biggest shifts for me turning towards healthy family, my own story of like working through stuff, was when I was in college and I shared with someone for the first time ever. I had sworn I was never going to share with them, when I shared, hey, I was sexually abused when I was a kid. And when I shared that, it actually changed the trajectory of my life, because then shame and condemnation and fear began to break off my life, because I was so in bondage to that because I was so afraid to share that with people. And so when we begin to live into God's design for family, which starts with us growing healthy, right? Because how many of y'all try to control like your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or something? How'd that go, right? Not good. I learned that pretty early in marriage, and I'm still learning that, you know, after like 15 years. Can't do that, Jared, right? But the only person you can control is the person you look in the mirror and you see, right? And so we can determine like what we want to do with ourselves, and we could bring our best self to our family. So I want to preface it as we talk about building strong families. We all have a different background. We all have a different context. And Jesus has his plan for everyone, which is super powerful. So let's look at the one verse we'll just dive into today. It's the 2 Timothy 1:5. says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. I mean, this is a powerful example of a family discipleship culture. So you got grandma who poured into their kiddo and then poured into their kiddo. So you got three generations of family right there who poured the faith down to the generations, which is really cool. How many of you didn't have that? I think have a family member above you pour into you for your faith where you came to believe. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like a lot of faith. But how many of you did have a family member above you that like poured into you? So it's about half and half, right? And so we all have a different story in family. And we look here that the power of a family discipleship culture changes the generations. So the power of a family discipleship culture changes the generations. So if you're a grandma, right, in terms of your role, you're really a grandma, or you'll be one day. The prayers that you pray through your family line and what you invest in your kids and your grandkids makes a huge difference. And you're thinking like, man, Jared, I'm single. I don't even have kids. I'm married, I don't have kids. I'll tell you up front, like, it all starts right now where you're at. Like, especially if you want to get married one day, you're like, oh, I'll work on it when I get married. Oh, no, I think some married people just laugh, right, or in relationships. You know it doesn't work that way. Like, it starts when you're, like, you're now. Like, when you're single, you want to have a healthy marriage, you do it when you're, you build yourself healthy when you're single, and you bring that in. And so we look at Lois, Eunice, and then in Timothy. So that passed down of the faith of the generations. So Timothy experienced a family discipleship culture. And you can ask the question, like, what is discipleship? And if I had to just say, hey, a simple definition I've come to learn over the past couple years is growing in commitment and obedience to Jesus. So discipleship is in essence growing in commitment to Jesus and growing in obedience to him. Because I found like that never ends, because the more we follow Jesus, the more he's going to ask that we give up to create space for him in our lives. And then that obedience thing, man, that never ends. The more you read scripture, like, man, I got to live that out. And Laura said it so well last week. The reason why we do all those things, our motivation is love, right? It's the love that we have for God that he puts in us. So when we think about God's design for a family, the way God has designed it is the father is the spiritual leader. So the father is the spiritual leader of the family. And I look back at my family, and we didn't have that, right, for us. And so I think it's good for us to continue to name different contexts that you have, because it'll fit differently, but we want to know God's design for it. So God's design is that the father is the spiritual leader, that the father is a man of character, integrity. He's a man who fasts and prays, worships, reads the word, and seeks God's face. So for us as fathers and husbands of the family, we got to be locked into Jesus ourselves to be able to lead and facilitate that for our families. For me, the way God redeemed that, God is a God of redemption. Like, he can take any brokenness in family and he can redeem it. So my dad bailed when I was 12. He had this plan in place I didn't know about. Because when I was 14, the pastor of the church we started going to, he was like, hey, Jared, do you want a mentor? And I was like, yeah. I have no idea what a mentor was, but I just said yes. So he met with me once a week throughout high school for 4 years. And I met with him just a couple weeks ago virtually. He's a lot older now, so am I. But it's been about, it's been over 20 years, like 24 years. And so the Father has a plan of redemption. For any brokenness that you experienced in your family, he can redeem it and he can transform it. And you may think, hey man, I didn't have a father, or maybe like my dad or my husband isn't taking like spiritual leadership in different ways. Did you notice when it was passed down to Timothy, there were no men? It was his grandma and his mother. So God will still use the family, still use the grandma and the mom to pass down that faith to these young men. And then who did God bring into the story for Timothy? He brought in Paul. Yeah, he brought in Paul, right? So God can redeem anything that he needs to redeem by sending the right people at the right place at the right time. And so when you read the letter, Paul says, hey, Timothy, my son in the faith. And so Timothy got adopted spiritually by an older man who invested in him like a mentor, which is super powerful. If you want to write down this verse, it's Deuteronomy 6:7. So way back in the Old Testament, I'll read it to us. It says, repeat them. It says like the word, the scriptures, it would be like the law. So repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. This is one of the coolest verses that describes family discipleship culture. And what it is, it's just a lifestyle. It literally said, whatever you're doing, talk about God and talk about the scriptures. So we want to be able to know God's word and share that with our kids, share that with our wives, share it with our husbands, share it with our families. And so we talk about God's word at home, as we're driving, we're going to bed, we're getting up. This is a family discipleship culture. It's just part of who we are. It just exudes from us, from our naturally how we live. And so think about this question, is how can you intentionally craft a discipleship culture in your family? So how can you intentionally craft a discipleship culture in your family? Like, what does that look like for you? And so remember, we have a lot of different contexts here, but a lot of people are either living with family, even if like they're not married, or if you're looking to get married, or you're just got married, right? You get to build that. If you're married for a few years, or you're dating someone, how do you build that culture into the family that you live with and also your extended family? Like, how do you take that discipleship culture to people in your family who don't know Jesus, or maybe they know him, but they want to grow? So take a moment to reflect for you. What is your current family discipleship culture look like? And then what do you want it to be? If you just reflect, okay, throughout the week, this is what it looks like for us. How are we doing, growing in our relationship with Jesus as a family? How are we incorporating scripture? How are we praying together? What does it look like? What does it look like for me as a mom to do that with my kids? Or, you know, dad with my kids? Or with your spouse? Or with a roommate that you live with that's part of like your extended family in certain ways? Or if you're a kid and you live at home with your parents, you're an like adult kid, like how do you do discipleship with your family? One of the cool things, they're not here today, and I'm going to just share their story a little bit. Rick and Sandra, if you know them, they're awesome. And one of the things that Rick has shared with me recently is he's been getting up super early to read the word and spend a ton of time in prayer for a lot of different people. And Sandra has been joining him. And so they get up early in the morning, I think like 5:30, and for like at least an hour together, they're just reading the word and they're praying together for a lot of different people. And I thought, man, that is like a really cool like family discipleship culture that they're building, which is cool. So what could it look like for you? I'm going to share a little bit about what it looks like for us. And you can just maybe take some ideas or think about it yourselves of what you'd want to do. First, what I found is it starts with me. Like, and that's kind of like everything in life, right? It starts with me, starts with the person in the mirror. And how am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? Because I can only bring like what I have. And if you're like, man, I don't really know how to do any of that. What way we craft Enriched Church is that we're literally, everything we do is like a training center. So like one of the reasons we do Discovery Bible Study is that you can learn how to read the Bible in a simple way with anyone. Another thing, we do, like, we know we share for Jesus at work. We're literally, like, learning how to share how God is at work in our lives with other people. Or the connect question, we're learning how to have just casual conversations that go to meaningful conversations that go to spiritual conversations. So we've literally designed Enriched Church as a discipleship culture that you can take and literally just integrate into your life with your family. One of the things that we do is, like, I just live it out in front of my kids. Like, they'll see me, like, reading the Bible in the morning or at night, or, like, when I'm praying, like, they'll come and they'll, like, jump on me sometimes, or they'll come interrupt me and, like, they'll talk about things, but they know, like, oh, Daddy's praying, he's talking with Jesus. One of the things that I found really helpful to live it out with my family is to ask forgiveness to my kids or to my wife and, like, take responsibility. a couple weeks ago, I was feeling a little crabby, to be honest. I think I was just like, I don't know, maybe hangry or something. I was trying to put the kids to bed, trying to get it done. And I was not very kind in my tone with my kids. And when I walked down, I was done. I was like, oh man, I could have done that like way better. So what I did is the next day, we were talking and everything. And I said, hey kiddos, last night when I was putting you to bed, like, daddy, like, I wasn't talking to you guys very kindly. Will you please forgive me for that? And, you know, of course, they're like, yeah, will you forgive me? And it actually was one of my obedience goals after I met with George for DBS. I was going to do that. And then I asked my kids to pray for me that I would grow in kindness. And I want to model for them, like, hey, this is how daddy lives it out, by asking forgiveness and even asking you to pray for me, that I would model that for them. And a lot of what I'm describing to you, like, this never happened in my family. Like, I don't think I've really had any other family member ever really apologize. But I'm just like, man, if they would have apologized, or my parents would have done that, like, imagine the level of reconciliation that would have taken place. But we can do family God's way according to his design. He can restart it, redeem it with us. One of the things we do the Discovery Bible Study at dinner. So if you haven't been to our house yet, hopefully you'll come over at some point. In our kitchen area, we have all these different colored papers that we printed with verses on them. And we do like a verse of the week. So we'll put a verse up there. And then we do a different part of the Discovery Bible Study every night. And so we'll read it one night, and then we'll retell in our own words the next night. And then we'll ask the questions like every night. And basically our whole week is a Discovery Bible Study as a family. And then when that's done, we stick it on the wall with all the other verses, and we stick a new one up there, which is cool. And I'll tell you this too. I didn't start the Discovery Bible Study dinner. My daughter did. Like, she started asking the questions, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And so even like our kids get to help shape the culture of our family in that way. One of the things that our kids and my wife, we all get to do together is like, we share Jesus with people, or like we pray with people and reach out to people around us. And my kids are standing right there with me. And often they're kind of like, pull my legs, let's go, as we're like praying for people. But they're getting to see, oh, this is what it looks like as you go, just to reach out to people around you. Yesterday we got a text from someone about a family member in their life that needed prayer. And so what we did right there is like, we just said, hey, let's stop and pray. And my wife said, all right, which kiddo, like, who wants to pray? And both my kids were like, I don't want to pray. And then Meredith was like, okay, I'll pray. Right? And then we just prayed as a family for that. Like, we don't force our kids to do any of this stuff. Like, you're going to pray, you're going to read the Bible. Like, we invite them into it. If they want to do it, cool. If they don't, what's cool. But what's been really interesting as we've just developed this culture and kind of let it be free is I'll see my kids get their Bibles on their own and they're reading them. And I'm like, okay, that's really cool. Like, I didn't say like, hey, go read your Bible. I don't think I actually would, because I don't want them to be like, I felt forced, and I don't want this God that you're trying to force. But this God who loves me and draws me in and shows up in my dreams and speaks to me and, you know, all this stuff. And keep it really broad. Like, one of my kids recently came to me, and we were having a good conversation, and they felt like they needed to ask God, they needed to forgive some of their friends who had hurt them. And I was like, oh, wow. And then we like forgave, and then we blessed those friends. And then then other things came up where that kid needed to ask me for forgiveness. I was like, whoa, like my kid was doing this of their own volition. And I share this because it's just like, I've modeled it, right? I said, hey, will you forgive me? And they're beginning to practice these things. I'll have like stories that just come up, like I'll, you know, be out doing things and God just does something with someone. So I'm intentional. Like when we went out to eat on Friday night, we broke our fast, went to In-N-Out. It was awesome to have a burger again. Although I missed the buns because the gluten-free thing, but still had a lettuce wrap. And I had this cool story happen prior. I had gotten gas here at Costco over in Azusa. I was planning just to head back home. And all of a sudden I had this really like strong image of the park here. And I felt like I'm supposed to come prayer walk the park. And I was literally like, okay, do I turn left or do I just keep going straight? And I was like, I think I'm supposed to go. So I turned left. I'm prayer walking, and then I run into, he ended up being a high school kid on the other side over there, and I was like, hey bro, I was walking by, I just felt like I'm doing a prayer walk, like, would you like prayer for anything? And he like looks at me, and he's like speechless. He's like, I was just praying 10 minutes ago to God, and he's like, I don't even know what to say. And I was like, well, like, I wasn't planning to come here, dude. Like, I got gas, I had an image like I was supposed to come and pray, and like, I felt like I saw you. I was like, "Ask you want prayer?" And he's like, and he just like unloaded all this stuff of like how he's messed up at school and done these things, and now his teachers don't like him, and his friends like don't like him, and he's wanted to be an example. And so like, I got to pray with him. I helped him talk with Jesus about it. Gave him a new Gospel of John. Told him about Discovery Bible Study. He could do it with his friends and stuff. And he was just blown away. Like, he was crying out to God. And he said, 10 minutes later, you showed up. So when we went to In-N-Out, I was like, hey, kiddos, you want to hear a cool story? So I just told him that story. And so they're getting to hear these stories from my own life as well. Something we do, we don't like have a set time for it. Like, sometimes we'll do family worship. We'll just throw on worship music. And sometimes it's like the kids' worship music. And we'll do that together as a family. And so some of it is intentional. And then some of it's spontaneous for our family. And for our marriage prayer rhythms, one of the things that we commit to, we just do, is we pray every night before we go to bed together. And so like each night we have kind of just different like topics or themes that we commit to pray to for a different season. So Sunday night, we actually pray for all of our planters in training on Sunday nights. Monday night is a partner, someone who supports us, either prayer financially. Tuesday night, we've done this for years, we always pray for our president and our nation. Wednesday night, Meredith reminds me what Wednesday night is. Thursday night is Enrich. Friday night's a family member we've committed to pray to for a while, and a missionary as well. So, and I don't know if it's Saturday night. Saturday night's a family member. So we just like, we pray through those things together, and then we pray for our kids. We pray for each other at various times. And so it's just become like, that's kind of natural. Like, and for us, I know this is different for different people. Like Meredith and I, we don't sit down and read the Bible together. Like, we read the Bible independently and we just talk about it as we go. And so you just kind of got to find what fits you to build your discipleship culture as a family. And if you're like, man, like, this is all new, like, just choose one thing. Like, what's one thing that you want to do? Because remember me, like, I started at, like, not even at zero, like, at negative, right? And so, like, over the years, God just, like, transformed my life as I just kept saying yes to him on that journey. Over here, you can see, like, all the kids are running around now. We have our kids' discipleship we do on Sundays, which our team, I feel like, does a really good job for them to, like, know Jesus more. What's cool, and I'll share this, I don't think it's been shared yet, but a couple weeks ago, three kids, during the time of like sharing about Jesus, the gospel message, three kids wanted to start their relationship with Jesus for the first time, which is really cool. So they're like, yeah, I want to do that with Jesus. So it was really powerful that three of our kids in our community started their relationship with Jesus. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to live off vitamins before, but you really can't do it. Like, you can't live off supplements. You got to live off the real stuff, right? So kids' discipleship on Sunday is simply a supplement. So we're setting the stage with supplements. We're training families through what we do here, that when you go home with your families, with your kids or your grandkids, or whoever it is that's part of your family, you get to do that with them. Because as parents, we have the greatest impact in our kids' lives, more than anything else, even more than their peers, believe it or not. Because our kids, like, they'll experience stuff at different kind of things they'll go to and things like that, and things will happen to them or said to them, or they'll be exposed to things. And we've created a culture where we told our kids, like, you can talk to us about anything. Like, we will always listen to you, and you can share anything with us. And it's been cool because our kids have shared things with us. I'm like, I'm so glad they shared that with me, because if they would have just kept that to themselves for years, it could have just continued to decay inside of them. But then when they share that with us, like, they bring it in the light, then we can help them process it. Like, how did you feel when that happened? Like, if you could, if it happens again, what do you want to do if it happens again? Do you want to forgive that person? Do you want to bless that person? And so we have the ability to shape our family culture and the future of our kids' lives. And let's talk about this too. The role of grandparents is so powerful. I think grandparents have a unique position in the family, that their prayers are so powerful. because if you think about like a water that like a waterfall that cascades down, like the prayers that grandparents pray is like a waterfall. It cascades down. And remember this, prayer is actually outside of time, because it with prayer you can resolve. You can go into the past. You can resolve your past. Like for example, forgiveness. You could pray in the present and it affects the present, and you could pray in the future, which a lot of us do. It can affect the future. Remember, God is outside of time. So when you pray for the generations to come, or you pray over your family, that prayer actually might carry for 8 generations and land 8 generations down without you knowing it on this side of heaven, right? So when you pray, be thinking about the future generations after you. So like I'm already planning like 3 generations after me is like what I pray into, and even longer. Like I'm already planning to be dead at some point, and my prayers are affecting those generations after. So your prayers as a grandparent, as a parent, are super powerful. And I'll tell you that they are the biggest things that will shape your kids, is how you pray for your kids and then how you walk with your kids through the things that they encounter. And I know like it's been said a lot, like, oh man, like schools are gonna ruin kids, or like, I mean, you just name it, right? But what makes the kids the most and shapes them is family culture. Like, please don't buy the lie that like our kids are gonna be ruined by the world or the school or like their peers or all these things, or like, and don't believe the lies of like the terrible twos, or like when my kids are teenagers they're gonna rebel. Like if you speak those words out loud, words carry power, and the spiritual realm, mainly demonic, will pick up on those words and they will use them against your family. And so when I speak over my kids or when I pray, it's like, hey, when my kids are teenagers, I'm gonna have great relationships with my kids. And guess what's most likely gonna happen? Gonna have great relationships because I'm gonna work hard at it, and I'm gonna speak truth over my family, and I'm gonna be the best dad that I can, right? And ultimately, like, I can only control me. I can't control what they do. What I can do is I can create the space in between for us to step into it together. So please don't buy the lies of the world, which ultimately are from Satan, from the evil one. So let's just take 2 minutes. And you could write this down if you're an introvert and you remember everything and you like to reflect internally, like whatever works best for you. What are your current like family rhythms for discipleship? And then what's something that you want to implement like this week? Like how do you want to implement discipleship with your family with the context of where you're at? So take about a minute or two to think through that, where you're at, and then one thing you want to do this week that's going to be different to shape family discipleship culture. This is getting to mind, like if you're single, you're like, man, I'm not sure how to do this. What if you commit to praying for your future spouse once a week? Like you put a reminder on your Google calendar as a task, like pray for a future spouse. Like remember, your prayers can affect the future. And so thinking like, man, how can I even build that now with where I'm at? And then once you write that down or put in your head how you want to do it, now just share that with the person next to you about what's the next thing you want to implement for your family discipleship culture. And then after you figured out what you want to do and you share with someone next to you, who is one person this week that you want to share with what you learned? So family is super important. And so think about who's someone I can share with about building like a healthy family culture God's way. So once you get that person, write that name down. And then when is it that you're going to contact them, or maybe you'll see them in person. So who's the one person? Just want to encourage us in our like building healthy families, building discipleship culture. If you're like, man, nobody before me, or I've came from this like kind of, you know, broken past, all this family stuff, like Jesus can choose you. He can choose you to totally change and transform that. Like I'm a living testimony of that. So it doesn't matter like what family you've come from. If you say, okay, Jesus, I give you my heart, my life, I give you my family line, I surrender to you. What's your plan? I want to do it. He'll take it. And if you're like, man, I come from like a legacy family, like Timothy, like all these people before him, like continue to build. Ultimately, Jesus's plan is to love your family and to build it, make it healthy and strong, redeem it for the generations until he returns. And we all have a really critical point, our part in that. So let me pray for us, and then hopefully Tacos will be here pretty shortly. So Jesus, we're so grateful for this morning to look at your word and see that Lois and Eunice and Timothy, they had this legacy of faith passed down from generation to generation. So Jesus, we pray that you would touch our lives with your grace, your love, and your power to radically transform us wherever we're at. From maybe this is family discipleship culture is totally new, to like, oh yeah, like my great, great, great so-and-so, and it's been passed down generations. Jesus, your plan for all of us is to live in your design for family. So we pray for your healing in your wholeness in all of our families. Jesus, we pray for your redemption and your transformation. We pray that you would give us your vision for our families and for your family here at Enriched Church as a spiritual family, and that we would all grow healthy, whole, and strong, either as moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandparents, wherever we fit in the matrix of family. And Jesus, we pray that you would bring healing to people's hearts that just have a lot of family brokenness. Would your love fill those spaces? And would you bring your wholeness that you desire to bring? We're grateful, Jesus, for the great plans you have for future for us and our families. Jesus, everyone steps forward into this week. Thank you that you go with each person here, that you're with them. I ask that you surround them with your wings and that you go ahead of them for your purposes, to be salt and light in the lives of other people, to bring encouragement, words of hope, prayer, or just to offer just a listening ear, just to sit and be with someone. Jesus, we want to pray your protection over everyone as well as we go through our weeks, over our families and our respective loved ones. And we ask that you bless these tacos to give us some really good taste bud experiences, and also to give us strength in our bodies. Would you give us your divine immunity, Jesus? We pray and ask this all in your name. Amen.